Hello, everyone, and welcome to State of the Realm. The Dawn Train hype is real after the latest letter from the producer live from the 14-hour broadcast. And while I think it's a pretty straightforward thing to talk about, that's what we're going to do. I don't actually think the show will take the entire time. We got a benchmark to go over. We got some graphics updates to share some opinions on. We got some blacklist stuff, and so maybe wishlist a few more things on top of that. But anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Happy, and of course, joining me after his freshly made mint julep was finished right before we started, Sly. How's that mint julep, man? I want to see it. I want to hear it. I want to hear the thought. There it is. I want to know how it turned out. I want to know of how proud of your work you are. That's so much mint.
Very proud.
Very proud. Very good. Proud. All right.
Yeah, since I learned this at Bourbon Festival, I'm like, yeah, I might as well use it, you know. So,
yeah. That's fair enough.
Right. Yeah,
it's good to see you, my friend. But
good to see you. You thought I was like getting meat, like during when I hosted you, when I raided you. Nah.
Yeah.
I just shaved. I just shaved right before this. So like, yeah, my balding clippers just got in, and I was like, yeah, like, fuck it, let me just get a picture.
had to shine things up for stream, get all presentable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe me one day. Who knows?
Fuck, this is good. If I would have got like real fancy, the one real fancy thing I did learn: if you want to get really fancy with the leaves on here, sprinkle a little bit of powdered sugar. Chef's kiss.
I'll just put all the powdered sugar in my mouth. I could use the sugar high right now, quite frankly. I'm a bit exhausted from a handful of things. But
yeah, I heard this morning was a little bit crazy.
Little bit. Yeah.
What happened?
Nothing, mate. I mean, let's just talk about the live letter. That'll be fine enough. I was up till 2 a.m. also. Oh, okay. I was up till 2 a.m.
There's that.
Yeah.
There's that, too. But, you know. But, you know, before that, we, of course, have to thank the patrons.
Yeah. Which you just did, so thanks. Thanks for sponsoring over on Patreon. Yeah. All of our content's available for free on YouTube and audio format, but always appreciate it. And that's all I have energy for, so show's done. We just wanted to say thanks. That's it.
Okay, Happy. I'm gonna do something.
Okay.
Because everybody was so hyped for this, and they're like, they're all like throughout the week, they're asking me, Sly, what do you think we're gonna see in the live letter?
I'm God, like, this question.
What do you think we're gonna see? Are we gonna get job action? No, he strictly said we're not getting job action until the media tour. So stop asking. What do you think we're going to see? Fuck if I know. And then we have a live letter.
Yeah.
And one thing we both could agree on, benchmark. We kind of saw that coming.
I was 50-50 on the benchmark. So Stormblood, this was about the timing that we got for the benchmark, but Shadowbringers, it was actually after the combat media tour. And with this time, with the graphics update and the new race, I was like, well, maybe they hold it. You know, that's why I was like, it's now or the next one. So 50-50. I was thinking it was more likely later, but yeah, no, I wasn't 100% on board with it. But yeah, no, we're getting it tomorrow as of the recording. And by the time you see this on YouTube later, it'll already be out, but you know.
Already be out.
Yeah.
All right. And you know, that was well and good. And then the live letter proceeds to go into what I like to call a technical demonstration.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Now, my thing is, and again, personal opinion, this either could have been its own separate thing, not even a live letter, just say, hey, we're doing a technical demonstration on you know, the graphics update. Here's what everything looks like, you know. But, you know, this is Final Fantasy 14, of course. Of course, people are going to freak out. Oh, my God, look at the rocks.
They're pretty good looking rocks. Dwayne was looking good.
Look at the way the grass moves when you go through it. Oh, my God, give us the grapes. We need to see the grapes.
They said there's no more low poly.
Look at the way the Lalafell stares at you.
I'll stare at you all day.
I know. But I kind of feel like this could have been its own thing, either its own thing or part of a much larger live letter.
I'm glad it wasn't part of a larger live letter, because so here's the thing. At PAX, they said they would do a side-by-side graphics comparison in the next live letter. So we knew this was coming. It was a question of how much it was. And I was pretty sure this was going to be almost the only thing we saw pretty much the entire time. Because they can't talk about anything combat related, and most of the system related changes they've gone over. Like, we did get something new system change wise here. And I did expect at least one thing. So I was glad to see that. But I expect this. And I actually think this is quite apt for a live letter. I think when your major selling point of your expansion is a graphics update, you're taking a game that's looked one way for 10 years and you really want to drive home something else. I think having the time to like stop and say, hey, look at the change we made here. Look at the change. I think that's the thing that kind of warrants it, is them actually, because the technical demonstration likely would have just been an 8 to 10 minute side by side video. This was more of a, this is what we did. This is what we wanted to accomplish. This is what our changes actually do. I'll take this over belts. Listen, this took as long as it took them to cover belts collectively across three live letters.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take this. Any day. Like, unironically, they took 90 minutes on belts across three live letters. So, I'll take 90 minutes of something that's a lot more important to a lot of people. And we did get some insight about stuff I didn't expect. There's a lot of little things we got insight about we didn't expect. So, we'll touch on this first, and we'll double back to the benchmark, and then we'll talk about the change. The other change that was coming to the blacklist, the system changes. So they started off and they did a lot of the just kind of showing the basic stuff. You know, they would show like how the, like you mentioned, like as you run through grass, it actually pushes aside, getting to see, you know, how fog looks in the environment now or how trees look. They went through all the kind of things we'd expect in more detail. At least it's not, you know, Lalafell chins for 20 minutes either. Big improvement over that one as well.
Okay, all right, real talk. You don't know what we got for 20 minutes? Nothing but straight Fox line. And I think that shit was done intentionally.
Oh, yeah. 100%. They dressed them up just so they would. I mean, it's tradition now. This is the fourth time he's done it. It's tradition now. But they know full well that while they're setting up technical demos, it's a really good idea to have him in costume as a Zodylan.
And just focus on him.
Yeah.
Not even Yoshi P, just him.
Yeah. To be fair, we were all looking at him anyway. They just knew it. But they actually went into some other smaller details of things that, admittedly, I don't think someone would start playing a game because of things like this, but the people who are playing and the people who do like get past whatever initial hurdles they may have and get in, they appreciate the smaller details for things like that. So first and foremost, the grass pushing aside was probably the first major thing they went over graphically. But I think the thing that caught people off guard first was the changes to mounts, which is one of those really small changes that I would, if they honestly hadn't pointed it out, I don't think I would have noticed it. But
yeah.
If I go back and look at the benchmark, it's in there too, actually, but I would have just chalked that up to benchmark related stuff. But essentially, mounts that have like an actual wingspan or flight or the mounts that essentially where it makes sense, they now actually tilt when they turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on mounts where it makes sense. Those things like Ozma, the bed, for example, probably doesn't turn like that while you're trying to while you're trying to fly through the air. But I think that was actually more important than it seemed initially for one particular reason. Do you know what that is, Sly?
What is that?
Now, I said these are features that don't sell subscriptions, but that everyone likes having. And as much as the hype for it wore off pretty quickly, and there's really a question of how important it'll be in the next WoW expansion, dragon riding was a big WoW feature. And I mean like a whoa kind of thing, not like just a WoW feature, an actual WoW feature, which greatly improved the flying experience in the game. Now, is that going to keep someone playing the game? No, but is it something people appreciate? Absolutely. It makes it seem like you care about getting around the rest of your world more exciting or more visually pleasing, or just it's little things like that that go a long way. And so that was, I think, something that a lot of people took in and really, really enjoyed and are hoping to see more of in terms of improvements. It's kind of in the same vein as swimming. Do we need swimming in 14? No, but does it make the experience in some way better, more immersive? Yes. So you should still work on those things, even if they're not going to be like a major selling point.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that this kind of live letter actually ended up being fairly important, because might have missed little details like that without like enough eyes on it or people really, really looking for it.
I wouldn't call it more of a quality of life live letter, but it's one of those where under a normal circumstance, this would have probably been, if we had like, I hate to say, you know,
peaches.
Stuff of substance.
You would have called this peaches.
If we had like stuff of substance to talk about, if we had like meaty shit to talk about, like if this were post-media tour and we're going after actions and whatnot, this would probably have been the fluff. Nine out of 10 would probably have been the fluff.
Yeah.
So to have it dedicated near like pretty much half of it dedicated to it, I mean,
Yeah, no, I think you're on the money with that one. This is like, compared to the meat of the game, this would have been a fluff section, for sure. Yeah. I just think that that's why it being here is important. It being its own live letter is important, and where its place in their live letter schedule is pretty important. Mm-hmm. And that there's only really one or two things they lingered on talking about too long. They pretty much move from zone to zone, point to point, showcase to showcase of each individual thing that the graphics update is doing. It fairly concisely, with a few little extra teasers tossed in there as well, pretty much the entire time. Because after the mount bit, they got kind of back on track for a little bit to showcase, you know, they like, among other things, they showcased Tail Feather and the moss and the stones and Ilmeg. And when we got to Ilmeg is where things really started to kind of change, because while we knew we were getting a graphics update, the technical aspect of what you'd be able to do with it was largely unknown. And there are a lot of technical things that Final Fantasy XIV has been criticized for not having. Among them is anti-aliasing options, which came as a big surprise to everyone. Now, I guess surprise maybe not the right word. One of those things people wanted to hear about, but everyone was just kind of focused on graphics and had kind of like maybe let a detail like that slip after getting used to it being the way that it is for so many years. Because the amount of shock I saw, live shock, when the anti-aliasing section popped up, it was big. It was really, really big. Everyone's reaction to it, among other things.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to pull up, because it's, people were trying to guess what anti-aliasing it was actually going to be, and it wasn't a term that most people were quite prepared for. And there are a lot of new messages in the translation section from the other things that they did, like the alliance raids and everything.
While you were talking. Yeah,
I was buying time by yapping a little bit, just trying to like get back to that section, because there's like the primal section. Because we're only talking about the live letter. They did do a bunch of other sections. They did the glam contest. They have people's pets with that. They had the primal stuff with the concert that was announced. JP only, of course. They had so many little things, and they made sure to do a decent showcase while he was trying to execute all of those bugs that were trying to get in his way. So I'm just scrolling through it real quick. I'm almost there. I'm at the like end of the live letter now. I'm doing it on my phone because I'm capturing our Discord right now. So I don't want to do it on Discord itself. Okay. I think I got to this section. I did skip a few zones as well. Okay. Yeah. So it was specifically TSCMAA and that plus jittering camera were the two new major and off. So, but FXAA is what they were pretty much showing initially. And then they pointed out, you know, we got trees in the distance. Look at how the leaves get all pixely whenever the camera moves or whenever we move. And then they swapped the anti-aliasing and it was pretty obvious that stuff in the distance was not being as pixelated or grainy as things moved on. The bitrate of the stream, on the other hand, a little bit not quite the same, but you know, that's a problem. I actually raised my bitrate to 10,000 today, and for some reason my max resolution went down. So I don't think the player liked that.
we still don't have that update for
I have the beta for it, but because I do multi-streaming, I don't think it works. Like, I don't think I can run that and do the other thing at the same time. I have to double check. Cause, we are getting the better encoder for Twitch's player. I don't know when, but the beta's out at the very least. But that was a big thing cause the lack of anti-aliasing has been a massive graphical complaint. It's a very modern expectation for a PC game to have anti-aliasing. It's considered kind of crazy to just not have it at all. So that was a really big bit. There was also AMD FSR and NVIDIA DLSS. DLSS is another big, big thing people have been waiting for. And there was a bit of a mixed reception about that particular part.
I don't see why.
So the big thing is that AMD's FSR is up to 3.0. And this is 1.0, which is basically
it's naturally 1.0. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really not like a big thing. Like what we were watching was all on FSR and it all looked good. Like the graphics update, but obviously people think about what is actually possible and known now about FSR 3.0 and looking at the 1.0 is disappointing to people who would like to use AMD FSR. But DLSS, everyone also said, as long as it's 2.0 or higher, we're good, because DLSS 2.0 is a really big improvement. And that we do have. So anyone with a DLSS card is going to be really reaping the benefits of the graphics update more than pretty much anyone else.
Yeah.
And that was a big bit. I mean, it's things like this that I really think that justify the live letter being just almost entirely set on the changes to graphics and whatnot. And gives people something to aim for when they're building their new PCs after the benchmark tomorrow. Does it support DLSS 2.0?
Oh, God.
That's social post, man. I can't wait to see. I we're really going to find out who's running on some old tech and how, more importantly, if the old tech is still good enough to work and how well good enough is also a big piece of information from tomorrow.
Because tomorrow. Like, I'm still like RTX 3080 Ti.
Yeah. It'd be more than I'm 3070. So, I don't even have a 3080. I have a 3070.
So yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, it's not us that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There are people out there trying to play the game on like Windows XP with like a fucking like 970 right now still.
Jesus.
So like they're really hurting. Yeah, the recommended I think is a 2060 and the minimum is a 1080 or something. You don't know?
I would have, like, offhand, I don't, like, I think recommended was 20, I don't think it was 2080. I think it was slightly below.
God. No, I think it was a 10 series. Think so.
Think for 20. Recommended? 10 series for recommended?
No. 2060 definitely for the recommended. For the minimum, okay, though, I think it was the 10 series, yeah. I'm fairly certain of that. So I just wonder how much of the settings people are going to have to go through. Cause keep in mind that all of that should be settings that you get to mess with in the benchmark tomorrow too.
Yeah.
So we should you won't have to wait very long to see. And that's going to be a big thing, getting to see DLSS 2.0 tomorrow in the benchmark. should hopefully be very, very good. What else did they show? They showed off the some wet armor sets, what the game looks like in rain. They showed off Lost City. Bro, the amount of wind affecting wildlife was cool until there was that like cactus like fungus thing in Lost City. It was just pulsating the entire time in the wind and the rain, and I'm like, stop looking like that. It's better, but please stop it. Stop it right now. Oh man. But everything looks a lot better, looks a lot cleaner, still definitely looks like 14. They had the soft shadow effects as well.
Yeah.
So that was another, like, I really like the soft shadows. That was a little detail. I actually kind of usually like hard shadows. Just, I don't know why. It's like visually gratifying for me to see, but it was nice. I liked seeing the soft shadows in that.
Shadows are usually one setting I really just don't give a crap about, because I usually play it like on like a medium to low setting.
Okay.
Because it just, you know, it can quote unquote be taxing sometimes.
You have a 3080 Ti, Sly. What do you care about taxing?
Hey, I'm on a single PC.
I'm also on a single PC, Sly, and I play on maximum. And I think I do have a 3080. I think NVIDIA sometimes does those Twitter giveaways where they like tag a creator and we'll give them five, like whatever. I think I bought a 3070 and they gave me a 3080 because I got tagged in that and I won it. In fact, I'm positive that's what happened. Okay. Yeah, I am on a 3080. Not a TI, but I'm on a 3080. Yeah. I actually had completely forgotten that it happened. That was cool.
I remember that happening.
I had forgotten.
And your Twitch says 3080.
Yeah, but when was the last time I scrolled down there?
Oh my God.
Why the fuck would I scroll under my stream? I did that like however many years ago and I haven't touched it since.
Oh my God.
What, do you just regularly read your own Twitch description?
I mean, I update my little visual schedule every week, so I kind of had to see it.
You don't have to. You could just look at the schedule. Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway. You just turn peripherals off. Maybe that's a setting. Turn that off for the graphics update. Turn off peripherals. Yoshi-P's like, I'm seeing people being concerned about their GPUs. Tomorrow, benchmark. Check it.
I remember him saying that.
You'll find out.
I kind of thought he was going to throw in a good luck there.
But, good luck, have fun. You
know, good luck.
Now, interesting, they started going into some of the newer areas as well. People were a little bit thrown because they went into a dungeon in Heritage Found, which is the Thunder Plains-esque area. If it's not a dungeon, it might just be out in the water. Like, it could be, it looks like there's a pathway. It doesn't look like a boss arena. But at the very least, it was an area in Heritage Found that, he was very afraid to move the camera in.
He's afraid to move the camera in a lot of areas. He's like, yeah, the dev team's giving me strange looks, and I don't want to, you know.
It kind of reminds me when he was in the Peaks in the Stormblood, one of the live letters, and he didn't want to show the upper part of the Peaks. He was very afraid of showing the Alagana part. He only wanted to show us the Alagiri part, unless I've got those backwards. I might have those backwards. But I do remember a similar thing where he just stared at the waves and the thunder in the back. Saw one of the towers, not the first one of the towers that we've seen, even the one with all the channeled energy directly towards it. So, wasn't anything too fancy. He also went into Tural and very carefully walked around Tural to try and make sure he didn't show anything there. Tural looking fantastic. But I had forgotten about something he had said about Tural that he reminded us of. He had told us at PAX that there may be a jump puzzle or two in the new expansion, a Kugane Tower, if you will. And he was at the top of it in the live letter. And pointed out another location where there should be another one. So we have confirmed a mini Kugane Tower and a full-size Kugane Tower in Toral. Like, we've now seen the tippy tops of at least one of those two locations. So somebody get Pine on the line, because their reputation is going to be on the line. Everyone's immediately like, Alu, Pint. Alu, Pint. Get up there. Anyway.
I still blame you for all this.
What did I do? I encouraged content that people enjoy?
Yes.
I'm sorry for giving people what they want, Sly. Have you ever actually been to the tower when they do the summer event and how busy it is? How many people are trying to climb that tower?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what people want
from that tower.
And they get right back up and they keep going. Because that's what they want.
What was the line from Far Cry? You know the definition of insanity.
I like how you're trying to do. What's his name? It's Michael something.
Yeah. Him.
Unfortunately, I always think of him from Better Call Saul, and I just think of that fucking character. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God damn it! Oh, good old Fallout. Too bad I don't want to talk about how the rest of his villain arc goes, because it makes the end of the game more disappointing.
Pretty much.
Either way, we did get a little bit of a peek into that. And jump puzzles are things people enjoy, so be glad about it. But yeah, they spent about 90 minutes on the graphics stuff. And while I could go over every single detail about the graphics updates that we saw, I don't think we need to. A lot of it's stuff we kind of already knew. We just were really getting to see it for the first time. You know, more boxes, yeah. Fruit, the stones on the ground, the number of things that are strewn about. Like, it was just good to see. It was confirmation.
The lodestones, everything.
Yep, all of that stuff. And this, the more technical aspects were definitely the biggest part. They also went out of their way to remind people that they went out of their way to remind people of two things. One, that the game, obviously still being on PS4, the PS4 is not going to have a lot of this stuff, right? Like, we all knew that.
No.
They also decided about 90 minutes in to remember that the Xbox version of the game exists now and to actually mention it on stream.
You noticed that too?
They kept talking about PS5, PS5, PS5.
PS4, yeah. Like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, y'all know Xbox is out, right? Right? Maybe didn't pay all that money just for y'all to not say Xbox. Like, you are contractually obligated now to mention Xbox at least maybe three times during a live letter.
I'd like to point out that the only time they brought up the Xbox was to mention what couldn't be done on the Series S. That's it. The only time it came up the entire time. Maybe they were afraid of getting banned. Maybe that's it.
I fucking hate you.
Maybe they were afraid. They were just going to try to log into their Xbox, and they were just, that was it. It was going to be over for them. They were just trying to form a free company, and that was it. It was over. I remember seeing somebody say, would it be better if I typed paid company? And I was like, no.
No.
No, I don't think it would be any better. Yeah, that's the thing. You'd think that even with the assumption that the PS5 and the Series X would run the game like technically the same, just never mentioning it was shocking to me. Like, that's habit. That's a decade of never having to say it.
Yeah, that's just the decade of only PlayStation. It's like, oh yeah, we're on Xbox now. Yeah. Okay.
Like, Do you know how often NA and EU feel like we're excluded for like sections of like, oh, we're doing this in Japan only. Hey, we're doing this in Japan only, which happened in this live
for as well. Fucking ever.
Yeah. Xbox doesn't even get mentioned.
That's not even a thing anymore. Like, that's not even a thing. At the end of every live letter, I'm, you know, during QVC, it's just, I'm usually looking forward to at least a couple of those things being Japan only. So I've been used to that for fucking ever.
Yeah, but Xbox doesn't even get mentioned. It's like that, but the entire live letter. Xbox, yeah. People are like, why does he keep talking about PlayStation? Can you like, what about the Xbox version? And he's just like, Foxconn looks funny, doesn't he?
Man, Phil's going to write an angry email. Oh boy.
No, I do think some of it is because it's in Japan and the Xbox is like non-existent in Japan. But they also know that the global audience is seeing this event. Like they know that we're watching it, we're tracking it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Duty Commence crew is going to mention Xbox at all. Because they're actually, the turnaround on Duty Commence, by the way, got to give credit. It's Monday. Duty Commence is like the English coverage of all the same stuff.
Yeah.
So good turnaround. Usually the turnaround for that's been a little longer historically. So, even though obviously we have all the unofficial translations, having that official note on anything in case there's anything that we might have missed or that's important or that wasn't clear through, you know, the language barrier and all the translations. It's good to have quick turnaround on that. So gotta give credit to them for, you know, finally really making that happen.
You know who else I'm going to give credit to? Shout out to the fucking Final Fantasy 14 Reddit Discord for having their cover with Phil and Doritos and Mountain Dew and the Xbox Series XS logo as the cover. Man, they don't miss a beat. Shout out to y'all on the Reddit Discord, man. Y'all are awesome.
And for the unofficial translations, Aluna, Miuna, always.
Thank you.
I can't believe Aluna was trying to cover some of the TTRPG stuff on there. Like, he's like, I'm not doing all 12 hours, but I'll do some. I think he said after it was done, they would go back and go over it for, like, the rules and, like, what it played out like and stuff. So, there was that.
Like, the TTRPG is out right now, right?
I think it's pre-order still. Fairly certain it's pre-order. But then again, I don't know. So I'm just literally making up what I think because I don't have a different answer. In other words, I technically, I didn't tell a single truth there. It launches in May. See, I was telling the truth completely. What? What are you getting comfy? Silly cat. Oh, I haven't even got an email for shipping. Well, there's that then. They did also mention some other small details. For one, they confirmed how much of the graphics update will be finished for 7.0's launch. And it's more than they seemed to initially let on a few months ago. Maybe they just have a better scope of what they could do. It's all of the field areas, dungeons, all of the environments are basically done. And that seems obvious because they've now shown, they showed in a Realm Reborn dungeon, they showed a Heavensward area with Tailfeather, they showed Kugane Castle several months ago when they were going over the lighting changes. We saw Elpis, we've seen Toral, obviously, you know, the new areas. So, we've seen an Ilmeg, so we've seen stuff from every expansion. I thought we were going to have more areas and characters in particular that were going to be not as impressive and that they would have to work on gradually over time, but it seems it's just gear that they didn't finish.
I mean, that would logically be the last thing because there's a lot of it.
Yeah. I just thought there was going to be more not done in 7.0. That's it. They just made it seem like it was just too monumental to even remotely come close to having done. But what's funny is they only called out one set, and it was the 6.0 AF set that wouldn't be finished, except Paladin because they used it for promotional materials.
Yep.
Which, you know, Paladin's finally catching a W after all these years. They're going to relish in that one for all of one patch. They're just going to wear the Endwalker AF set and be like, ah, losers. The entire time.
And then everybody else's will look better.
I don't know, dude. The Paladin one's pretty dope.
Just wait. I promise you, it'll be eclipsed by something.
We'll see. It's pretty good. And then also they mentioned improving fingers and toes. I mean, yeah, fingers and toes. That was a big one. Mm-hmm. Chat was really excited about that one for some reason. You're going to need another mint julep after that, huh?
Mm-hmm. This movie kind of low.
Not even 40 minutes on that first mint julep.
And this was like a big one. This is bigger than normal. Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to need another one.
Yeah, especially to talk about fingers and toes. Yeah, the toes in particular got people really excited.
I could imagine.
Imagine is hopefully all you're doing.
You nasties.
You nasties. Oh, chat. Yeah, more pixels for fingers and toes. Yep, there you go. And that covers most of the stuff they had to say about the graphics update. They then talked about a system change, which I did fully expect one major system change announcement. And it was about the Blacklist of all things.
That I didn't expect. Like, I mean, I thought, like you said, there would be like a system announcement or something, but not Blacklist.
But yeah,
for what it's worth, it's a really good announcement. It's a really good announcement for me and for you.
For me. And I mean, I guess the mute list, yeah. Term filter, too. I need to hear about all these fucking venues every time I go into Limbs on a Friday night. Like, I do not.
There you go.
Care.
That's the for you.
I just do not.
And then for
want
me, it. And then for me, I can just Uncle Phil people out the fucking house now.
I was going to say jazz them out the house, but I'm glad that we were on the same page technically with that one.
Yeah.
That fucking shout track lives in my brain rent free. So Blacklist is getting a whole bunch of updates. Some of which have been long-term requests, some of which have been kind of pipe dream requests, some of which weren't requested, but are appreciated. First of all, for the Blacklist itself, character models will actually be hidden now if you have somebody blacklisted outside of duties. So if somebody's walking up to you and you don't like that they keep thrusting their cock in your face with whatever emote they're using, you won't see that anymore. Everyone else will see it happening, but you won't.
Now, Happy, I thought about this one. Because
thought about thrusting of the cock in the face.
Fuck you. I thought about this one because, like, I feel like a good reason why a lot of people blacklist people is within duties. So the expectation would be to not see them in a duty again. This doesn't stop that. And
no.
I kind of wish it would take your blacklist into consideration when signing up for a duty. So you don't like, and I kind of thought it did originally.
It does if you're the leader. So if the leader has you blacklisted or you have the leader blacklisted, you can't join. But if they're just two different people that are blacklisted to each other, then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Aloha.
See, that's the thing. I was kind of hoping it would take that into consideration.
Hey. There you go.
Oh, here's our guest star.
Yeah. He's being a jerk. Been a jerk all day. Yeah, they said that they had that request, but that it made the system way too complicated to do that because they essentially had to add a whole nother check to the existing duty finder system in order to make that work, and that was not going to happen apparently. So unfortunate, but on top of it making the character invisible in all the open field areas, it also does it account-wide, so they can't just swap characters. They have to swap to a whole other account in order to continue being a jerk face, pretty much. It does, however, change their name to unknown, and you can choose not to see any of their messages. However, you know, behavior is usually why people blacklist, and not so much just the messages. It's just the messages are part of the behavior, more so. I think that that's at least somewhat okay of a middle ground to have the unknown and the request for the chat to work. But you're right. A lot of people did also want it to do that, and that doesn't seem like that's going to be a thing. So that is overall a good update. Then we also have the mute list being added, which doesn't remove the character model. It just stops you from having to hear them and read anything that they type.
And that was the big one for you because, again, like you said, you and a lot of people get tired of hearing people in Limsa or just everywhere, venue shouting. Speaking of which, hey, venue, owners and venue shouters, do you know that there's a place online called ffxivvenues.com where you can register your venue and then it goes on a schedule? And if you're open, it'll show your venue. So go sign up for it.
Yeah, but that's not as effective as shouting into the streets of Limsa Lomensa.
Promise you it's more effective. I promise you.
Yeah, although to be fair, the term filter, I'm actually curious about something with the term filter. So obviously you could put a word like venue or whatever. Just if there's something you just don't want to hear in shout chat that's like frequent. It doesn't have to be a venue. Well, so here's the thing. I wonder if it's considered, terms of service-wise, either spam or harassment if you deliberately change your shout message to get around normal filters.
Like F4STG1L?
Like the bots do it, yeah. Like, do you think people start doing like V3NU3 or like some shit like that where the, yeah, to try and get around filters? Because I wonder how that is considered under the terms of service. Cause I guarantee you some people are going to think they're really fucking clever and do it.
Yeah.
So that's just curiosity. They didn't comment on that. So no word. But the mute list otherwise, other than not removing the character, it is basically identical to the blacklist, except for how it tracks the names. So the blacklist is stored server side and the mute list is stored client side, which means it should get added to your character folders. And I'd imagine if you back up that data to the cloud, that it would also be included in that. So if you were reinstalling on a new platform or, you know, just putting the character settings, you know, just backing them up, I would hope that it also gets added to that as well. No word.
I agree.
No word on that. There's the mute list. Let's see. Then we have, about register. Yeah. I didn't scroll down far enough here on my phone. Okay. So now we have estate expulsion.
Big one for me.
This has been a long time coming. I'm going to tell you a story real quick of the first time that I asked for this feature.
I can guess where it was. I can guess.
Yeah, you should probably know. So, a Stage Reborn.
Yep.
Yeah. they host in-game retellings of popular plays. They've done a whole bunch of them. And it requires the cooperation of everyone in the crowd. And not everyone in the crowd cooperates. So while even if they could remove someone from the entry list, put them on the no entry list, if they're already in the house, there's not really a whole lot that can be done. Or there wasn't. This makes that no longer a problem, in theory. Now, it's funny because it could actually be in a few ways. If everyone in the game, everyone in the venue just blacklists the person, they disappear. So technically, there was another way around that even without this change, but now there's something like actually built into it. Just the bouncer of the venue or club or whatever can essentially blacklist the person in order to get them completely out or add them. I will say this. I don't understand why it only puts you on the no entry list for 10 days by default.
Well, because I'm willing to guess that they are thinking that, you know, they just want to get the people out of the event who are kind of harassing the event. And most events only last usually a weekend. So, like, the best case scenario for this, for, like, all, you know, menu owners or anybody who runs, like, a troop or anything like that, would be to kind of make either a Google Doc or a Google Sheet of people you want to keep manned from the venue and just update it whenever you have, update the ban list whenever you have an event. So just keep that handy and just keep it going perpetually.
See, I was thinking more of it like this is a warning, because if you blacklist somebody, they can't ever enter, essentially. And it will, and it'll eject them from the house. So I guess I saw it more as like the no entry list now acts as more of like a temporary warning, and the blacklist is to permanently get them out and prevent them from coming back in. That's how I saw it, but it was just weird to me to by default only allow it to be 10 days. Like, there's no way to change it either. The only way is to then take it to full step to blacklist. Because if somebody's like that, the odds of them just being different 10 days later is, I don't know, I guess. I guess you could argue if somebody AFK'd in a club too, and you wanted to make room, only kicking them out for 10 days would probably be, like, if you had people waiting outside.
I mean, but people AFK in the club all the time. That's
yeah, I'm just naming another situation where a temporary removal would make more sense versus a full-on ban. And up to four people, whether they be free company members or housemates, can have access to the expulsion feature on top of the master or owner themselves, whether it be a single player plot or a free company plot. Then there's the Lodestone privacy settings, which is a bit of a double-edged sword. So you can remove yourself from Lodestone character selections. You have more control over who can view different aspects of the Lodestone. And your blacklist also for the Lodestone. You can stop certain people from viewing it, and it's tied to your in-game blacklist as well. The only downside to this is one of those you can't win this downside. You do this because it's the right thing to do, but you have to take the 1L somewhere in the middle. Is if you can remove yourself from Lodestone character settings, the harassers can do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's essentially the one caveat with this. But generally speaking, just because their Lodestone is hidden doesn't mean their behavior is. So if it's happening all in-game and not through the Lodestone, then it would, in theory, hopefully just make them easier to track down and punish, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much covers the blacklist. One thing I didn't mention, the mute list and the blacklist have separate caps, which is an important deal. They're each 200. I mentioned that they were saved separately. But yeah, so between the two, it kind of doubled the blacklist slots as well on top of that. And that was pretty much it for the most important bits. Now, one final thing was this schedule. And obviously, we have to go back to the benchmark, but that's its own thing. The schedule for the remainder of our wait for Dawn Trail.
Yep.
First and foremost, the confirmation of the return of the Yokai Watch event, which will be April 24th and will come with a new framer kit. No mention of Reaper or Sage weapons, but hopefully they'll be there too, because they did mention they wanted to do that. So fingers crossed that that's also the case. And then we get to the calendar. So we still have the 16 event going on until May 8th.
Yep.
We have the Yokai Watch event starting April 24th, and that will continue until the servers go down for Dawn Trail. So that's going to be around for a while. Then we have three major events in the middle of May. Back to back to back.
Yep. Treasure Trove, Make It Rain, and Dragon?
No. Live letter, and the start of the media tour. So technically four things. Yeah.
Haps, question. How are you feeling about the media tour? And do you feel like this is going to be a media tour, or is this going to be a, you know, everybody media tour?
I don't know. Square could go either way with this one. I think it's a bit of a question mark. I know a lot of people took notice of the North American Fan Festival, and the European also didn't invite any creators other than the people who are doing Gillionaire. So I know there's been some concern amongst people wondering. It's mostly viewers wondering if their creators are going, or if it's a thing, or if it's going to be normal like everyone
else. To be honest,
creators are just like, whatever.
If it's a media tour, I would be completely fucking okay with that.
Yeah.
You would be taking it easy on me. Thank you so much, Square Enix. For once, I'm not like clamoring at the bit. I mean, it'd be nice to go, but at the same time, god damn.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, active concerns with previous ones. especially while people are very impatiently waiting for whatever date that content's allowed to be posted on. So I'd be okay either way. Obviously, I would prefer to be able to attend one of these if given the option.
Yeah.
And I would gladly say yes. But this is a pretty broad schedule, too. And it's funny because I said I think they shouldn't talk about media tour dates and stuff at all, and they literally just fucking plastered it onto a calendar and said, here's the time.
We're here not it even, is. Yeah. Here it is. This is the time frame. Yeah. Well, fuck. Okay. Now everybody's going to be – now you're going to have everybody asking everybody, hey, Happy, did you hear about the media tour? We can't fucking say if we did.
It's going to be a lot of that. And that's largely been the thing is like, because we're allowed to say when we are going, if we're going, like whatever, like whenever they've told us, it's historically in the past. It's always been a bit of a struggle because it's really exciting to get to say that you're attending something like that. But it's also, it's kind of like a mixed bag with that. I mean, like I said, I'd rather go than not go, but honestly, it wouldn't bother me either way. The team knows what'll work. They know what they need to do. They know what they're gonna do.
Like this ain't their first rodeo. Like they've done this before.
The worst is when they're like, man, every creator I watch today isn't here. That's weird.
That's weird.
I think that's why they started letting us tell people, because they're like, it's gonna be pretty fucking obvious at this point. Yeah.
I feel like the only time it was like quote unquote weird was. I mean, it was weird for obvious reasons, but what was it? Shadowbringers. For obvious reasons, because, you know, pandemic one, and you know.
You mean going into Endwalker specifically? Shadowbringers going into Endwalker.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I thought you meant the one for Shadow. Okay, I was real confused there for a second. Yeah, that one was a little different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like we were just home. Yeah. Everybody who wasn't like online that day, it's like, I wonder why. Like, yeah, we were just home.
Yeah. Either way, I trust in their judgment. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I'll do the same exact content no matter what they decide to do. But we'll see. But that's not even the end of the calendar. The big thing is the Combat Live letter is on the 16th of May. It's on the second day of their worldwide media tour. Which is like uber early comparatively to historically. I can say that from experience that normally I've
and that's another thing that has me concerned.
I don't think it's a concern, no. Because it's just like it would be a concern if they didn't put when it was on the calendar, because then everyone would be trying to guess around. Again,
like you have to consider we're in the middle of April. And it's the Combat Live letter was 2nd of May?
No. It's the second day of the media tour, which is the 16th of May. But that's still relatively early to how it's been.
I mean, that's a month out. That's a month out. So yeah, I'm still slightly concerned, but you know.
I mean, it's literally just like, how do I put this? Normally, it's like midway into the media tour, the Combat Live letter. So usually Japan's all the way done. Maybe NA has gone already. I think for Shadowbringers, the live letter was like a few days. I think it was like the following weekend. I think I had like a full week to sit on everything before they did that. That's not going to be the case this time. They really want to get it out, which I think actually is because everyone just knows the media tour exists. It's a thing, you know, companies are going to be sitting down to get this information. It's probably just for the better to get it out sooner. People want it sooner. People want to know sooner. There's no real reason to have the kind of drip feed of the media tour starting and then, you know, 10 days going by and then the combat. Just get it out of the way ASAP because everyone wants to know it, and you don't need us as creators or traditional media in any capacity to get people excited for that live letter. Like, yeah, people want to know the full details afterwards, but that's going to be
the big thing. They're excited now.
They're excited now. Exactly. That's it. That's exactly what it is. So you might as well do what they're doing. I think it's the right decision.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying is to try to get it as done early in the media tour as possible. And that'll answer the Dragoon and Astro questions. which are going to be rampant sooner rather than later.
Yeah, let me make another mint julep. Just kidding.
he's not kidding, but he's kidding for right now because he doesn't want to go through all the effort. Not mid show. And then that was it. Oh, I'm sorry. The rest of the schedule. Then there is the Dragon Quest X event returning. That's going to be returning June 5th. And then there will be another letter from the producer live June 14th. The Dragon Quest event will end on June 20th. The treasure trove will end on June 24th. Yokai will end on June 26th. And then there will be a 48-hour maintenance before Dawn Trail early access begins. Girthy. Plenty of time to play Elden Ring, thankfully.
Hold on. So, early access is June
28th.
28th, excuse me. I'm
yeah.
I'm looking at calendar. I saw the face. So, I have 2 weeks.
For
Vengeance. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Easy.
Yeah, I can get that done.
And that's it. We have the entire schedule. Two more live letters, a handful of events, and a 48-hour maintenance, and we will be neck deep in Dawn Trail. I'm looking forward to that. I've already got my cosplay commission started for the Viper outfit, so I'll be ready to go.
You got the hair did for it too?
Yeah, I just got a slick. Well, I gotta buy a clip on man bun. I can't man bun it up like that. I don't. My hair is not even remotely long enough to man bun it up.
I mean, but like the front part, yeah, like it's the front is down pat. Like,
oh yeah, I just need to grab a strand here and a strand here and face it down.
Yeah,
I'll be good to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all set on that regard. Go hard on Viper as soon as it releases. Not rating on it. But I'm putting a lot of time into it.
I'm assuming your group will have somebody rating on it.
I mean, if it's good, probably. If it's good enough, I suppose. Is the right way to put it. Like, what if it's not that good? What if it's just better to run something else? You know? You don't know? Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Everyone ran Reaper in the start of Endwalker, only to find out it was the lowest damage melee DPS. They thought it was the most OP job, and then when everyone actually did all the math and started practicing on everything else, yep. They were like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
No, we were we just jumped on the hype train. That's all it was.
Yeah.
I just hope Dancer and Bard are fun. Can't wait again. Then we got the stats section, which was weird.
This isn't your convention. Okay. But before you go into this, there's census data and then there's Lucky Bonsho. This is nothing like Lucky Bonsho. This is kind of a fluff piece. But you know, it's fun. I guess fun to see specific data on certain things.
Yeah.
So yay.
Yay. Yeah, like the first few bits, it was like, you know, 30 million registered players, you know, we know that. 240 total accolades won, which is a pretty big one, out of 313 total nominations. Then it started getting weird. 88 total etherites and 325 duties. It's like, do we really need to go for that? What was an interesting one is from between main and side quests, anything they officially deign a cutscene, there is a total of 159 hours of cutscenes.
I kind of wish they would have broken that down into spoken cutscenes and non-spoken.
That's actually what I wondered. Like, what for them constitutes, like, because there are cutscenes, like, you can still skip them. They're perfectly normal. But they're done like, they're kind of like the really in-engine ones where it honestly just looks like the camera's moving between, like, random dialogue with no voice. And then there's unvoiced, like, more cinematic cutscenes. And then there's voiced main scenes. So I kind of almost wish they had done, like you said, done some sort of break with that just to better understand it. But I assume it's anything that has the skip cutscene or cutscene cannot be skipped option when you try. It's like anything that offers you that, which honestly, I don't believe 159. I think it's more. That's why, because I really genuinely think there's more than 159 hours of cutscenes if you include all of that. I do. Across 1,583 songs in the game, there are 4,917 minutes of music, which is like almost 83 days worth of music. I'm sorry, almost 83 hours worth of music. Not 83 days, Jesus Christ. 83 hours worth of music. And then they got into the really weird statistics. Assuming that one materia weighs 100 grams, in the last year, there have been just under 16.1 tons of materia melded onto gear. Now, that's melded. It doesn't say failed or over-melded, which it's only of the successful melds, I would assume. And then if you assume that the cork of an A Realm Reborn Red travels 10 meters when it's popped, they've traveled 46,152 kilometers in the last year.
Yeah, this shit got mad weird, yo. This shit got mad weird.
If you assume that potions like ethers and stat pots are 100 milliliters each, then in total, 54,350,656 liters of potions have been consumed in the last year. Honestly, I thought that was just going to say in phase one top. I didn't even think that was going to be the last year. Because, like, that's probably pretty close. Like, I'd say, like, 53 million of that's probably just in phase one top alone, if I had to guess. Hmm. Now, what's funny is that doesn't include Fantasias, which means this number is about five times bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe they assume Fantasias are more than 100 milliliters because of, you know, their effects. Yeah. Then we had survey data. Now, this was a Twitter survey I'd completely forgotten happened. When people started playing the game. So first of all, 1.0 losers don't count is the first thing I took away from this. They just left them out entirely. Probably a smart decision. A Realm Reborn, 26% of the current player base started in A Realm Reborn, 13% in Heavensward, 14% in Stormblood, 34% in Shadowbringers, no surprise, and 13% in Endwalker. Given how Heavensward went and given how Endwalker has been received, I believe it.
Yeah.
Sounds about right to me. Then it got... So it didn't get weird, but I kind of forgot that this was based on a Twitter survey because when they got to the favorite mounts, minions, and like most formidable foes, I was like, how?
Same. Like, okay, same for a few places. Okay, so favorite mount. Like, I mean, most of you have probably already seen it, but yeah. I mean, really, I'm just going to go over to the top three. Fat Cat, yes. I completely get it. Honestly, should have been a little bit higher, in my opinion. Maybe
I think
number
it should
two.
Have been, yeah. However, number two is the SDS Fenrir, and I know why that's number two.
Yeah.
I know why. Yeah. It's because it's faster. Like, that's literally it. That's why it's one of the top.
Yeah. But number one being the basic bitch, Company Chocobo.
I predicted this. You know why, Sly?
Motherfuckers just don't like seasoning on your chicken. That's all I'm just going to say.
That's the whole point.
I just don't like seasoning on your chicken.
That's the whole point. It's because you can season it however you want. It's the most customizable mount in the game.
Nah, fam. Again, you got all these seasoning. You got all these mounts. And you going Company Chocobo? Yeah, I know. I mean, I get it, like the barding and everything. Sure, you can bard it out however you want.
The barding, the color, the spec that it has, all the time you spend raising it, all the hunt trains you bring it out to. It's your first mount in the game. You get to name it. It's like an attachment. It's
honestly,
Final Fantasy.
I still thought it would have been lower.
I started doubting that it was number one when I saw what two and three were. I was like, oh, what is number one Cruise Chaser? It's probably just another cash shop mount. And then I saw it was the Company Chocobo. I was
and
like, never mind.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a cash shop mount, too, to be honest. Yeah. I just didn't know which one. I mean, I have my favorite. Fucking red hair. Shout out the red hair. But
Yeah, what kind of seasoning really is on the red hair?
A little bit cayenne paprika.
Cumin?
Because it's red. No cumin. It's red. Red hair.
I'm colorblind. Is cumin not red?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's kind of brownish.
All right. Well, it looks the same as all the other ones to me. favorite minion, kind of in the same vein. This time the Fat Cat did place a little bit higher.
Yeah. This one honestly wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, maybe the Lesser Panda a little bit, but Starbird being number one wasn't a shock. Like, so many people going after Starbird, like, doing the daily just to even try and get Starbird. Yeah. That wasn't a shock.
Yeah, but it's the reason why it's up there because people want to do that to get it. So the fact that people were trying so hard just to get it that way, actually, it makes me less surprised. Again, it's just a vote, too. It's not like most acquired or anything. It's just the one people thought deserved to win. So there's no other statistic behind it at all. Then we had most registered home point. I knew this was Limsa, number one, immediately. You're muted. I knew immediately that it was got to be Limsa Lamensa. You good?
Yep.
Okay. You were muted that whole time, so I was just like, huh. let's see. And then they had most formidable foe. This one was kind of like a mix of things that made sense and things that did. Again, most formidable has nothing to do with lore or raid fight or mechanic. It was literally just a popularity contest. So of course Hades ends up eating out the win.
This was flavor. I felt like this was more flavor than anything. What? I'll go ahead and say this. Why the Insinker's number two is still funny.
I was really surprised.
That's just hilarious to me. That's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, regardless of how you feel about the fight, I didn't think they would be popular enough to be in the top three. I didn't think Insinker would be up there.
No.
That's just it. Just popularity. I thought Warrior of Light was going to be one or two. Not three.
I mean, it being top three is at least somewhat. I kind of thought it would at least be top three. Hell, I thought Xenos would be in a top three.
No, I knew that wasn't going to fucking happen. You know how many people do not like him versus the number of people who do like him?
You know how many memes of Xenos there are?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean people like him. I wouldn't have put him in the top three. I'm okay with him. I don't have the hate boner that some people have, but definitely wouldn't have been in the top three.
And another thing with this, like, they say Hades.
Nuts.
But do they mean Hades or do they mean?
They mean Emmett.
I would just would have said Emmett, honestly. I just would have split the two.
Yeah, honestly, I think so too. I think the only reason why they went with foe specifically is because Hades is an actual boss. Like, all of these are things you fight. Like, Xenos, obviously.
Okay,
when I think of foes, I think of
Sephiroth. I think of... What's his nuts from 15?
What's his nuts? Yeah. Arden is what you're looking for, but what's his nuts?
What's his nuts? Yeah, exactly. Arden. Just any of the Final Fantasy Rogues Gallery.
And not their like transformed states.
Right. So yeah. I'm not gonna say tree form,
X-Death.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm drawing or Kafka, like Kafka's God. You just think Kafka.
God Kafka. I'm not gonna say God Kafka. I'm not gonna say like Xeramus or anything like that. No, I'm gonna go base form.
Yeah. No, I think it's because these are actual encounters that you could fight. You never fight Emmett as Emmett. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, so. But Emmett just had more weight to it because, like, you know, we all felt like we all hated Emmett, but at the same time, everybody fell in love with Emmett. And, like, to this day, they still call Emmett, like, one of the greatest Final Fantasy villains of all time.
But that's to this day, it's only been a few years. You make it sound like he's been around for like fucking 20 years at this point. To this day,
he's been around for 10 years.
No, he hasn't. We didn't fucking know who he was until Shadowbringers, until like fucking two crashes.
I know,
before
what I'm saying, he's been there.
Yeah, but you can't, if you don't know he exists, you can't be like, yeah, I loved him 10 years ago.
We knew of him 10 years ago. And remember the picture of fat Emmett itself?
That was funny. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. He existed. We knew of, we were aware of his existence. We just weren't aware of how, like, of his present existence. Like, he was a fat old man in picture form. Until we finally found out who he really was.
I didn't really know that the Emperor was fat. Come on. I think he was just old with a big armor.
Big armor, really?
Have you seen Xenos' ass in and out of the armor? That man does not have nearly the rump.
So why did his armor have that big protrusion in the front? He was fucking fat. He's fucking fat.
I think you're wrong. Anyway, moving on, they had like people vote on one word that they associated with 14. In Japan, apparently one of the most popular words is just soken. That was it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's fair.
Yeah.
In NA, yeah. There's a few funny ones in there, but at the bottom it says hard and happy right next to each other, and I immediately noticed that. I was like, wait a minute. Huh? I also like how lame game is. Like, that's it? That's the way. What is one word you associate most with Final Fantasy 14? Game. Are you, how fucking lazy are you? This is the game of all time.
The funny one, in my opinion, well.
Yeah, well, a log is in there as well.
Well.
There's anything, there's everyone, there's just the word one. That's it. Everything, anyone, everyone, better, different.
Help.
C. S-E-E. Just C.
C.
Not even ocean C. Just with your eyes. C. There's cum. Just cum on its own. Why is just cum on its own then? Like, that's just what it is. I mean, to be fair, there are the venues and Baomong and everything. But still. Help. Help is there. Oh my god. It's such a weird amalgamation of words. And then there was QVC, which is all Japan stuff. Chips are back. Actually, the statue wasn't Japan only, but everyone I've seen that's gotten one has complained about it being broken or damaged in some way, so can't say I'm gonna write too many praises about that one. And that covers the majority of the live letter, but we skipped past the benchmark in the beginning. Just to kind of move on to the graphics bit. I've been through the benchmark before I say anything about it, cause I don't really want to dive into too much. Anything of note that you took from all of that?
Not really. I'm just waiting to see how 30.
No, nothing.
That's just pretty much it.
Nothing in particular. No giant Nidhogg crawling out of the fucking portal in the ground.
Perhaps we've been through this rodeo so many times before, we all know what this is.
What is it,
classic
Sly?
Misdirection.
I mean, it's just a bunch of animation, Sly. There's no misdirection that you're getting a skill where Nidhogg climbs out of the fucking ground.
Like,
you don't know the context of the move, but you know it exists.
Yeah.
No emotion towards it, just thinking about the other piece of inevitable information you need to wait for.
Mm-hmm.
My man's a Dragoon man. He can't even be excited for Nidhogg. He's just afraid. Just straight up.
Realist.
Just straight up afraid.
Realist. Like, I don't give a shit about that. Okay, tell me what you were doing to my job and how terrible it's going to be.
What if it's great? That's not a good silence. That's a loud silence.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
See, I saw a bunch of stuff I thought was exciting, Sly.
Of course you did.
We saw two moves for Monk. Monk's one of the only jobs I think Monk and Dark Knight are two that we saw more than one move for. Monk had like a dragon uppercut, massive dragon came out of their fist, and they had a Hadouken. Mm-hmm. Like not the Hadouken they have now. It was like a, like they made like an orb out of it and then blasted them point blank. That one was pretty exciting. There was also a big ass saber dance too for Dancer in there somewhere. There was the samurai Ikki Shoten into uppercut Tenka Gokken. Machinist got, see, I think I know what the Machinist one is. I don't think it was Chainsaw 2. I don't think that was the big thing they wanted to show off. I think Reassemble's gonna empower Drill Air Anchor or Chainsaw and reset the cooldown. Well, not even reset the cooldown, but when you have Reassemble activated, you can instantly activate one of your tools, and it's an enhanced version of it. That's what I think actually happened there. Not just Chainsaw into bigger Chainsaw. Because he does the regular Chainsaw, and then 2 seconds later does the big, and then like 5 seconds later does the bigger one, but he's off screen for like a few seconds. So that's what I think happened. I think he reassembled and it upgraded the skill and then released the stronger one. Super Chainsaw. The Bard's, dude, of all the armor and weapons we saw, the fucking Bard weapon. It was a guitar bow. I loved it. It's like a straight up Fender guitar bow.
Like Alistair from Devil May Cry.
Yeah, kind of. And the animation that I fired out was cool as hell. It was one of the cooler animations in that. There was a lot of things I couldn't really figure out. There were some things that I could only speculate. It looked like Ramu was there for Summoner. They casted a brand new ability that has like thunder sparks around it.
Ooh.
So that was a pretty sweet little teaser. People have been suspecting that after Phoenix, you'll get new summons. I could buy it. And also in the level 52 summoner quest, I think it is, you actually try to assimilate Ramu anyway. It doesn't work in that particular quest, but could work now. So that might have been a nice little teaser. However, that wouldn't really change how they play right now. They'd still be as brain dead as they are right now, which may be another complaint to consider, but one thing at a time, I suppose. You're gonna take your W's where you get them.
In a couple of years, they'll try again.
Bro, you know what I noticed and pointed out that got everyone really excited? The Viera was wearing the tiny scholar hat. The really tiny, like uber tiny scholar hat.
Yeah. So you're getting hats, just tiny hats.
It's so tiny it couldn't block the ears. But that one hat, it worked. Oh man. It was a really exciting benchmark. I think that's my favorite benchmark trailer that we've gotten. The Endwalker one, I'm 50-50 between this and the Endwalker one. But I think what brought me a little bit more excitement for this one was something that was in line with a statement they made a few live letters ago. They said they wanted to do more cinematic stuff with cutscenes. They've been working on it. They hope people have been enjoying it throughout Endwalker. And the benchmark normally flexes some stuff we don't get to do as players. And we kind of got to see that with the opening section when he's first getting to Toral. He opens the map, looks at the compass, looks around, drinks out of the knapsack when he's on the back of his mount and stuff like that. I don't think any of those are player emotes that are coming. Maybe the drinking one, but I think they were trying to showcase a lot of just things they can do to make cutscenes a little bit more appreciated, just outside of the major scenes especially. We saw this with, like, the bun breaking and all that throughout Endwalker as well, with Zero and everything. So they've been doing a good job, and I'm hoping to see them continue to do a good job with that later on.
I'm still just waiting on my shaker emote, goddammit. Yep.
It's all he wants.
It's all I want. So goddamn simple.
Is it? If it was so simple, why haven't they done it, Sly?
Good fucking question.
Good question. Well, not one I have an answer to, unfortunately, Sly, so you'll just have to wait. Wait, wait, and wait. And I think you'll be all right.
Possibly until Mediator. Possibly.
But if you're going to try to just, no. I sincerely doubt it. Longer than that, Sly. Longer than that.
Yeah.
Anyway, outside of the little eye twitch movement that only works on idle NPCs out in the world, which I'll never zoom in on, I think that pretty much covers everything from the live letter.
Yep.
Unless we really want to talk about Foxconn's outfit more, you know.
We're good.
You don't want Zodylan? No more Zodylan? Or
Zodylan? No.
Or Hodiark?
Hodiark.
That's a good one. I like Hodiark. Yeah, all right. Well, in that case, I think we're good to go on that front. I think we can call that a show. So
that is the show. Pretty, like I said, pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. So next week, we will probably talk a little bit more about our benchmark results. I'll probably be bringing on a guest because we need to start doing shows on specific roles, Sly. Being I'm a Fizz Ranged and you're a Melee, I think we probably aim for those shows earlier than the rest. And then we'll, of course, mm-hmm. have caster-related stuff. We can catch up on any of the other little collaborations that are happening in this time. We'll have Yo-Kai Watch hopping on soon. So, you know, that's always a great, great thing to remind people about. But we are planning on doing a show every week leading up to Dawn Trail's release, unless there's some sort of major event like SMT5 Vengeance coming out. Don't worry, I'll stop Elden Ringing. I'll be the bigger person here. I'll stop Elden Ringing for you. You know what's especially fucked? Oh, actually, Sly, we are doing a show that week. Just not on the day that SMT comes out.
Good.
Because there's a live letter that week.
Yep.
Although I think that live letter is on a Friday. So let me pull up that schedule. Oh, don't tell me it reset my position on the... Oh, God. Well, it's going to have to scroll through that to find it again. Either way, all said and done. So we're going to be doing shows every week, so be sure to stay tuned for whether it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. We'll make sure we get our shows done. We'll make sure you're adequately entertained leading into and after Dawn Trail. So thank you, Sly, for joining me for this little discussion today. Why don't you tell everyone what you got going on and where they can find you at, my good sir.
You can find me at twitch.tv/Sly, a.k.a. Gray Fox. You can find me on Twitter at Sly, a.k.a. Gray Fox. What I got going on? Again, just recently did the my podcast episode of Velvet Room Conversations with An Eternal Enigma. That is on the YouTube, youtube.com/TheVelvetRoom. Working out my next guest for either this week or the next. If you have a guest you would like to see on Velvet Room Conversations, let me know. I will take it into consideration. Again, usually it's just, you know, the people I've met over the past 10 years. Other than that, you know, finishing games, making space for shit I've been meaning to do, a.k.a. Dragon Quest. Gonna take some time for that. Finally, going to do a bourbon tasting this week. Seeing as how I got, like, learned all this fancy shit from Bourbon Festival, this week, for the future, I'm gonna kind of start getting more brand-centric, or our bourbon tastings. So, what better brand to start with than Four Roses? So, Four Roses will be the next bourbon tasting we do this coming week. I recently, like today, went out and got four bottles of Four Roses. So, I'm gonna see if I can get, Abby Martini, who is the mixologist and brand ambassador. I'm gonna see if I can get her in the stream, because I met her at Bourbon Festival, from Four Roses. So, there's that. So if you wanna learn about Four Roses bourbon, or just bourbon in general, that'll be the stream this week. You're more than welcome to come by. Other than that, yeah, just kind of prepping for other things, getting ready for SMB5, read-only memories, Neurodiver, which I kind of forgot about, but it's coming out finally. So I'll be playing read-only memories before that, and yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
All right, sounds good.
Happy? What about you?
You can find me, Mr. Happy 1227, everywhere. Right now, just playing catch up on the remaining live letter stuff. I need to go through everything from last night and see if there's anything else of note to make a quick video on. Benchmark is tomorrow. It's in less than 12 hours from this recording. By the time it's on YouTube, maybe I'll upload this to YouTube and audio tonight. I like to be kind of quick when it's on the Saturday one. But either way, Sunday at midnight. So technically Saturday midnight, you know, going into Sunday. Time's over. Anyway. And then on top of that, I'll probably be playing 14 for the rest of the week until the 16 DLC comes out, which will be on the, I think I'll be playing it on the 17th with my New Zealand privilege, but I guess that depends on how they're doing it. And then there's also, there's so much this month. There's Grand Blue Relink update with, Twayan and Seofon. There's Ayuden Chronicles on the 23rd. There's the Yokai event on the 24th. There's Stellar Ass on the 26th. There's one other thing I'm forgetting. There's Saga Emerald Beyond, which already has a demo that I haven't even had time for. Sandland. Yeah. It's a month, man. It's a month. So excited. All the same. Gonna be keeping busy with a lot of stuff. And I'm all caught up in Honkai. So I have my adventuring poles in 4 days as well. So I just gotta wrap up the side quest off stream, which I probably can do today after I get back from the gym. I think I'm good enough to go to the gym. I'm awake enough now. I think I've recuperated my energy from the insanity that was the last several hours. Doing good. Ready
to... Paps says this, but we have a post-show, so...
Not for long, we don't. Not for long. Listen, Hildebrand's ready to get going, too. Like, he's like, let's get to the gym, man. We got some Manderville dance to do at the gym today. Should do that one day. Just do the Manderville. Dude, man, you do the Manderville for 10 minutes, you're going to be out of fucking breath. That shit's a cardio workout and a half. All right. Y'all want to lose some weight? Just do that. You die. That's it. Just going to be dead. Don't even know it. Anyway, with that, thank you everyone for joining us this week. Thank you for the sponsors over on Patreon for supporting. Thank you to Steel Series also for sponsoring as they tend to do. And we will see you next week for something somewhat benchmark related, but we'll probably start working on our job related predictions, hopes, etc., all that stuff. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you then. Until then, I bid you adieu.
See you next week.